Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Brodersen, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching in the book of 1 Corinthians, and today he'll be continuing with part 2 of The Called Ones, as we turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, five times in this first chapter, we have this word, called or calling, used in regard to God's people. In chapter 1, verse 1, Paul speaks of himself as called. He says he's called to be an apostle. And then in verse 2 of chapter 1, he speaks of the fact that those in the church, the believers, he says that they are called saints. And then he goes on over in verse 9, and he says that God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son. And then going over, he says once again that verse 24, but to those who are called. And then finally in verse 26, he says, for you see your calling, brethren. So this is the biblical picture, that we're called, that God has a call for our life. So I want to talk specifically about what God has called us to. And the first thing that we need to understand about the call of God is that he's called us initially into a relationship with him. That's the first part of the calling. He's called us to be his sons and daughters. That is such a wonderful thing. It's such an amazing thing. Now, this thing about the relationship is so wonderful. Now, of course, it's possible in this life to have parents that aren't good parents. I mean, that's very possible, and that's been the experience of many people. But when we talk about a relationship with God, and we talk about God being our Father, if we don't have an example of it, we just have to do our best to imagine the best father in the world, just the best one that there could possibly be. And when you understand the relationship in those terms, you have been called into a relationship with a God who just, he just loves you. He just absolutely loves you. He just, in human terms, he just want to take you up and just give you the strongest hug and smother you with kisses. So this is the kind of relationship that we're invited into. We're called to be the sons and the daughters of God. Now, I think this is probably most common in people who grow up in a church or, you know, kids who are raised in a Christian home. I think a lot of times somehow, whether intentional or unintentional, they get the idea that the Christian life is about performance in some way or another. It's primarily about doing good things, being a good person, not messing up, and, you know, just hoping for the best in the long run, knowing really that you're not really that good of a person, but just hoping that God overlooks that. That's the wrong picture. That's not what it's about. That's not what God's called us to. That's not what he's thinking. That's not what his desires are for you. God loves you, and he loves you just like you are, and he knows that you're not perfect, and he knows that you're going to make tons of mistakes. But, you know, just like any other parent, of course, but he's the perfect one, you know, my kids made tons of mistakes in their life, but I never for one second thought of disowning them. I never thought of not wanting to be their dad. Even when they were doing really stupid things and getting themselves in trouble, all I wanted to do was help them and get them out of it. And again, Jesus used this example. He said, if you who are evil by nature, if you know how to do good things for your children, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to do good things for his children? So God's called us to be his children. He's called us into a relationship with himself where we can be honest with him. He wants us to be who we are. He doesn't want us to be somebody else, except he wants to make us more like his son, Jesus. But he gave you the personality he gave you, the likes that that you have, the dislikes, the gifts, the talents. All of those things, God has instilled those in you. He loves you. So this is the first thing we need to think of when we think of calling. God has called us to be his sons and his daughters. Now, again, as a dad, I always wanted to take care of my kids. I always wanted to provide for them. I always wanted to protect them as much as I could. I always wanted the best for them. I always was concerned and looking out for them. My kids are all grown up, and I'm still like that. I still am concerned. If one of them calls me and tells me they're having a difficult day, I'm just like, oh, I gotta go help them. I gotta do something. That's a father's heart. That's just the way dads are, and moms too. But of course, in God, you have the firmness and the strength of the father, but in God you also have the tenderness and all of that of the mother. So this is the first place. God's called us to be his sons and his daughters. Secondly, I want you to notice in verse 2 where Paul is writing, he says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. Now, notice in your Bible that the two little words, to be, are italicized. And what that means is that those two words are not actually there in the original document. So the literal rendering is not that God has called us to be saints. God has called us saints. You see, I don't make myself a saint. You don't make yourself a saint. And again, the Christian life isn't about trying to be as good as you can so hopefully you can win over God or please him someday and he'll, you know, finally love you or you know, bless you. Or no, called saints. God's the one who calls us saints. A saint is a person who, the root word is the same word for holy. So God calls us holy. Why does God call us holy? Because he makes us holy. That's what happens. When we receive his son, Jesus, God takes the holiness of Jesus and he puts it on us. And so he then calls us holy. The word saint also implies a separation. So we've been separated. A saint is somebody who's been separated from sin and brought into a relationship with God. So we're not trying to be saints. And this is a big mistake that Christians made a long time ago in church history. And it just kind of perpetuated itself down through the ages, you know, this idea. And sometimes we even say things like this, right? We say, well, look, you know, I'm a Christian, but hey, you know, nobody's a saint. And what are we saying? Well, we're thinking of saint as an extraordinarily holy person, a perfect person. That's not the biblical picture. We are saints. God's called us saints because he's the one who set us apart. Now, here's the deal. Since he's called us saints, and since he's set us apart, and since he's puts his spirit inside of us as his children, that's what happens. As his children, he sends his spirit to live in us. We behave differently, not as a means of winning his favor, but because he's doing a work inside of us. So we start to act like the people of God because of the work that God's doing. Because he's made us saints, we start to live like we would think that saints live. But even when we fail, even when we stumble, we don't lose our sainthood. They don't take it away. It's still there. It's a permanent thing that God grants to us. So we're called to be sons and daughters. We're called to be saints. And thirdly, we're called to be God's servants. Now, when you think of a servant really isn't a desirable position, is it really? You know, nobody really goes out and applies to become a slave. We think of servanthood or servitude or slavery. All of those are negative pictures in our mind. But yet, interestingly, the Bible, those who follow the Lord and love the Lord, they would refer to themselves as the slaves or the servants of the Lord. You know, in some ways, whether slavery is good or bad is to some degree determined by who your master is. The Bible teaches that everybody's a slave, actually. Everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. And if you commit sin and are a slave of sin, then you're actually, your master is Satan, and he's a brutal, ruthless master. But the Lord is a good master. He's a loving master. People wonder, well, why does the Bible talk about slavery? And they say, oh, you know, the Bible's bad, it promotes slavery. The Bible doesn't promote slavery. It just simply talks about it because it existed. It was there in the historical context. And quite often in the Old Testament period of time, people became slaves. It was a way of paying off their debts. So if a person was indebted to somebody else and they were unable to pay them, they would put themselves in service to that person. And they would have to be there until they paid off the debt. Now, in cases where a person was a slave for whatever reason, God had always made under the law a provision that after a certain period of time, the slave was emancipated. It was over. Whether they paid their whole debt or not, it didn't matter. It was only a certain amount of time, 7 years they could serve, and then they were free to go. But there was also this provision that if the slave decided, you know what? I got the greatest master in the world. I don't want to leave. This is the best deal going. I want to stay here. I want to be part of this family. That slave could go and pretty much just communicate that. And then the master would take this little metal rod and drive it through the ear of the person. And they would then be recognized as a bond slave, which would be a slave by choice. So when the New Testament talks about us being servants of God, and the word is literally many times bond slave, that's the picture. We're slaves by choice. I wouldn't want to have any other master. You can't get a better master than Jesus. Everybody's got some master. The Bible says it. Everybody's serving somebody. And the Bible really narrows it down. Either you're serving the Lord, the good and righteous and just and compassionate master, or you're serving the slave driver, the cruel taskmaster who would ultimately be the devil. So God has called us to be his servants. But now, let me say this. In serving the Lord, this is where the meaning and the purpose of life practically begins to be experienced. You know, there's a lot of people in the world today who are going to die of boredom. They're just simply going to die because they're bored. They're bored to death. And so they're looking for a thrill. They're looking for excitement. And so they try this thing and they get into this, you know, extreme kind of thing. You know, this is going to bring me some thrills. This is going to bring me some excitement. You know, that's how some people, you know, get deeper and deeper into drug use. You know, they try something, it excites them for a while, and then it kind of wears off. It doesn't have the same effect. So they got to keep going for more. And then pretty soon, you know, they're being absolutely destroyed by those drugs because they're trying to get that experience that is no longer coming. But what's at the root of it? At the root of it is like an emptiness or a deep-seated boredom that just, you know, like, man, I don't know, life doesn't have any meaning. It doesn't have any zest. It doesn't have any excitement. God has a remedy for that. Become his servant. You want to know excitement? You want to know a life that's thrilling and adventurous and amazing and wonderful and unbelievable and like, wow, I never would have dreamed that I could do something like this. That's what happens when you follow the Lord. He leads you into this grand adventure. I became a Christian when I was 22 years old. And man, I was dying of boredom. I was so bored with life. I'd done all the things that everybody said that you needed to do to have fun and live the exciting life. And my friends and I, we used to hang out in Hollywood and, you know, some of my friends were up in L.A. partying with the actors and everybody, you know, and that we were into all of that stuff. But the reality was we were all dying of emptiness, boredom on the inside. And I came to know Jesus at 22. And you know what? My life has never been the same. And it's been an amazing adventure. And I often think about all the things that God has let me do, the places he's let me go, the people he's allowed me to meet. And I think, man, if I never would have gotten saved, I never would have done any of this. I never would have met these people. I never would have had these wonderful experiences. But, you know, other things will thrill you. Other things will excite you. And God knows what those things are. Other things will be an adventure to you. And those are the things that God leads us on as his servants. You see, because as servants of the Lord, we are co-workers with him. And guess what? God created the world. He created everything. He's got a plan. He's bringing about his kingdom. And he's doing it through a process of doing works in preparation for Jesus to return. And when somebody becomes the Lord's servant, he brings you right in and says, okay, here's the plan. This is what we're going to do. This is your job. This is your task. And he gives us the ability to do it. He gives us the equipment. And he says, okay, now you go do this. And then we find ourselves not bored to death, not dying of emptiness, not feeling like, man, life means nothing. What a waste. But we're just going, yeah, this is great. This is amazing. My personal experience before I became a Christian, the best way to describe it is just an absolute hole in my soul that nothing could fulfill. That was it. That's the best way I know to describe it. And I was always going after this. And my friends used to comment, it's like, oh, so you're doing that now, huh? Yeah, I'm doing that. Well, I thought you were doing that. Well, I was doing that, but that got bored. That got boring. So now I'm doing this. And I do that for a while. And then I jump over to do this other thing. Oh, you're doing that now? Yeah, I'm doing this now. And I was just jumping from thing to thing. Yeah, this is going to do it. Oh, that's going to do it. No, I'm going to do it over. Empty every time. That is what serving Christ eliminates. You don't have that. It's not there. You won't get to 50 years old and say, man, I'm so disappointed with life. You don't have to be 50. You can be 30. You can be 20. You can be 70, whatever. You won't get there because Jesus brings meaning and purpose into our lives as he brings us in to partnership with him, to serving him. So we're called to be sons and daughters. We're called to be saints. We're called to be servants. And here's the fourth and final one. This is an amazing one. They're all amazing. But Jesus said to his close followers, he said, I no longer call you simply servants. I call you friends. Man, that's the most mind-blowing thing of all right there. God is calling us into a friendship. A friendship. Now, listen, think with me about this for a second. We all can think of some famous person, or, you know, maybe you can think of lots of famous people. But we could all probably think of somebody that, oh my gosh, if we could just be friends with that person. Oh, how amazing that would be. And you know, if you ever have a friend who maybe gets a little famous or something, don't you just always want to tell everybody that you know that person? You know, you just want to make sure that people know that. That's true, right? I mean, that's how we are. If we could have a friend that was famous, that kind of thing. Well, what is that saying? It's human nature. We want to be close to those kinds of people. Well, listen, here's the wonderful news. God, the one who made everything, the famous one. The word fame has no application to anyone else if you compare them to God. The most famous human that ever lived is nothing in comparison to God. And God says, I call you my friends. Man, you want to go around bragging about knowing somebody, brag about knowing God. You know, somebody might say, well, hey, well, I know this guy, you know, this movie star. Hey, I know this sports person. I say, hey, well, that's great. I know God. I know the one who made everything. That's the reality. That's what we have. We know the Lord. And in Jeremiah, and Paul quotes from it in the first chapter here, in Jeremiah chapter 9, the Lord says this. He says, let not the mighty man boast in his strength. And these are the things people boast in, right? Strong, mighty, powerful people. They boast in their strength. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. That's what rich people do quite often. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. These are all things that people do. He said, but let him who boasts boast about this, that I know the Lord. That's something to brag about right there. I know the Lord. I'm God's child. I'm a saint. I'm a God's servant. I am God's friend. Wow. Abraham, he goes down in history as the man who was called the friend of God. That's amazing. The friend of God. But Jesus said, you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. So you see, we're called into a friendship. Now, let me just say this in closing. You know, the friendship thing, I want to emphasize that because, you know, it's possible to even be a son or a daughter, but to not have a friendship. You know that? It's possible. Because something can happen where even though you're a son or a daughter, you can become estranged from that parent and the friendship element can be broken. And when the friendship element is broken, although the parent loves the child, the parent is unable to do all the good and wonderful things that they want to do because of the severing of the friendship. So it's wonderful to be a son and a daughter. That's essential. That's where we start. We have to be there. But we don't want to just be that, as wonderful as that is. We want to have the friendship intact. And the friendship remains intact as we follow the Lord, as we obey the Lord. As Jesus said, you are my friends if you do what I say to you. So we're living in obedience to him. We're taking his word to heart. And we're doing our best by his help and through his grace to live accordingly. And there we have that friendship with the Lord. And what does that imply? Well, the one thing that I want to say about friendship is that friendship implies closeness. It implies intimacy. You know, when you have somebody, you know, everybody's got somebody that they consider a friend. Well, hopefully everybody does. But this person is my friend. And when we say this person is my friend, we're saying, you know, this is somebody I trust. This is somebody that is a confidant. This is a person that I can share my deepest feelings with. This is a person that I connect with. And there's something special in this relationship. Friendship's such a wonderful thing. And when God says that we are his friends, that's what he's saying. Here's somebody who knows me. Here's somebody who's intimately associated with me and acquainted with me, and I with them as well. And this is what God has called us to. And so it's for all of us, from the youngest one in the room to the oldest one in the room. All of this is for us. This is what God has called us to. So every one of us has been called by God. And as we respond to that call, life becomes all that it was meant to be. That's the thing. You're not going to find the meaning of life. You're not going to find purpose. You're not going to find fulfillment anywhere, except in heeding the call of God. So do that. Just heed the call. The Lord calls, just, Lord, here I am. I'm heeding your call. And of course, like I said, it all begins with just entering into the relationship. God calls us to come and to receive Christ, and that's where we start. We just open our hearts. Lord, I receive you. I respond to that call. Jesus, come into my life. And you know, you don't have to do that every week. You don't have to do that every Wednesday night at youth group. You just do it once. Mean it, and the Lord comes. And he brings us into that relationship and starts to take us deeper and further into that call. And it's something that goes on throughout our entire lives until that final moment when the Lord calls us home to be with him. And that's when things will be better than we can ever dream.
We'll return with more valuable insights from our study of the Bible in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Purpose of Church Discipline. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Called Ones. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0193. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/PastorBrianBroderson and on Twitter at twitter.com/BrianBroderson. For those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You are also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archive messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com. Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.